Father, we just lift up Sat to you now as he brings your word to us. We just commit him to you, Lord. Thank you for what you've put into his heart to share with us. And may your Holy Spirit guide him now, and may his words be a blessing and challenge to each one of us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Douglas, I really need that prayer. Almost every time I speak, but especially this morning, because of the subject that we are dealing with this morning. We'll come to that. From the time I'm here, which is almost 3 months now, I have been giving some opening remarks. And today is the last line of my opening remark. Last time when I preached, we finished the statement that we were focusing on. Can we please have that on slide? Thank you. We finished this whole statement and we went through different parts of it, trying to understand the image or what we as a church family live or continue to function as one big family of God. And for me, the phrase one big family of God is really, really important, because when we come together as God's children, when we come together to worship the Lord, when we come together, let me just go and see what these people are talking about, you are part of this family. And what brings this family together is our faith and our trust in the Lord. But as a result of that faith and trust, the love that God has shown upon us, we bring that love in our actions. So we have spoken about a lot of different things thus far. I started preaching saying that we are one big body where we'll all play our part. And then we went through a lot of different things. This morning, my sermon for many might feel like a very selfish sermon. This might be a sermon that not many of us might have ever heard in life. You know, when I was thinking of my sermon this morning, I almost felt like getting a sofa here, get a cup of coffee in my hand, sit there and talk to you. Because it is almost a talk from the heart of the minister. And as we continue to grow in the Lord as one big family of God, this is what I, as a minister of the church, one among us has to say. A few years ago, when I was doing my studies, I came across the experience of a minister who was telling me of a story of how discouraged he feels when he is serving the Lord. Now, that was a good prompt for me, because that was the time for me when I had to submit a topic to write my research paper on. So I thought, wow, that sounds like a good topic. And I'm full of that thing, yeah, let me pick that topic. So I picked up a topic, and my topic for my research was how a church can support the minister. I was really happy. I said, wow, that feels like a very unique topic. See, none of my classmates thought about this, and it's really different. But my happiness was really short-lived. My topic was approved. My proposal went through. Faculty said, oh, wow, that's a brilliant topic. I visited two big theological colleges who had a big collection of books, okay? They're well known. So people all across India would come to these libraries for their research and all that. I went there, Thought, yes, I've got the topic. I'm standing in front of the huge library and I'll certainly find good books on this. You know what? Hardly any book I could find on that topic. On the topic of how to support your minister, I found lots of books on how a minister can support the church. I found a lot of books on how minister can be good in shepherding role. I found a lot of books on how minister can be good in his pastoral role. But not many books, or hardly one or two books, which were talking about the other direction on how the church body can help minister and walk with him in what God wants to achieve through his life. And that was a sad beginning. What followed after that, as part of my studies and my research, was collection of a lot of stories from a lot of different ministers who had to share stories of their experience which did not bring them a joy. Now, please hear me carefully. I am not saying that ministry is all bad. Okay? I'm not saying, it's poor me and I'm going through a lot of suffering and all that. That's not the aim this morning. But the aim is so that when we work together as one big family of God, is to help you to walk along with me, lift me up and help me to serve the Lord the way God wants me to serve him. I have few stats to present. Can we please have that slide? If you want more, you can scan that QR code or follow on that link. So 75% of pastors report being extremely stressed or highly stressed. This like was done, a survey was done in group of few ministers. 80% believe their pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. 70% do not have someone they consider a close friend. 91% have experienced some form of burnout in ministry, and 18% say they are fried to a crisp right now. 90% feel fatigued and worn out every week. 70% constantly fight depression. And there are a lot more figures like this if you go on that link. And if you want, ask me. I can always share that with you. Interesting figures. Now, preaching this topic is not the easiest one, especially if I'm the minister of the church. But I have often taken time to preach on this topic in every congregation wherever God has placed me. Because I want us to continue to serve the Lord. I don't want to become one in those figures. I don't want to become one who is highly stressed, who is undergoing depression. But I want to serve the Lord with what God has asked me to do. And for that, I need your help. For that, I need you to join along in what God wants me to do. Going back to my research story. So, you know, we do mess up the process. So I went to the library and I found that, not many books. So I thought, okay, let me go back to the old, good old book we call the Bible. So I turned to the Bible. And there are not many verses, or there are not many places where the Bible talks about this. Why do you think, what's the problem there? Oh, why do you think that's the case? In terms of having no books or having not many passages in the Bible that talks about this. Church wasn't like that then? Oh, you should. Church had a different structure. There were a lot of local leaders. They still had a lot of issues then. But one of the things is, most of the writers are either themselves a minister or who are those who are serving in the ministry. And therefore, I did this. Okay, I somehow like to throw a stone and see how it stirs the water. So we have a Facebook group We have a Facebook group on for Baptist ministers. So I for a few months ago, and I did just put. I need water. So I just posted a question on that group saying that how many of us would be willing to talk on this topic? And had a lot of interesting comments from other Baptist ministers that it just sounds like a selfish sermon, that it's not appropriate and all that. And yet there would be stories of Baptist ministers in this country or ministers in this country who have walked away from ministry because they couldn't take it anymore. So, how can we support those who are serving the Lord? Certain things that we would be talking about here this morning also certainly apply to those people in our church family and every church family who are involved in serving the Lord in various ways, either within the church family or wherever God is taking them. So let's look at a few things that Paul and in Bible we find where Paul has certainly mentioned a few things. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. There are no verses on screen. Sorry, I like this technology, but not for putting Bible verses. So if you have it on your phone, or if you have your Bible in your hands, if you can open it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Now, Ephesians was a prison epistle, okay? So he was in a prison. You know, we read in Book of Acts, you know Paul's story. He's taken as a captive. They go on that journey. And then he's, at the end of the Book of Acts, he's taken to Rome. And that's where he is. And that's where he's writing those letters. So there was not much freedom for him. In that situation, Paul writes this. And for me, that's Paul, to ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep speaking boldly for him as I should. So first thing that we can do to help our ministers is to pray for them. You know, the world that we live in is a very challenging place, and it's becoming more and more challenging every day. And to stand and speak God's truth becomes more and more difficult. There are new concepts, new ideologies, new terminologies, new lifestyles, all sorts of things. A lot of information that goes around. And we need to be praying for our ministers and for our leaders. We need to be praying that they would find God's boldness in whatever circumstances they are in. Paul was in prison. And even there he's talking about, please pray for me so that I can speak boldly for the Lord. Pray for our leaders, for their spiritual growth. Pray that God's word would continue to speak with them. You know, I can go on Google, search for a sermon, come and read here, and you would not even know that I've I'm preaching a Google sermon. Or take another step, ChatGPT. Type any topic. Ask ChatGPT to give you a sermon. You would have a sermon with illustration, with all sorts of things that you would like. You would not know that. But in order for us, in order for church family to grow, it is important for a minister and for leaders to spend time at the feet of the Lord, as we were saying this morning, to receive from the Lord and then to share those experiences, share those revelations, share those truth with the church family. And for that to happen, church family, we need to be praying for our leaders, for their spiritual growth. Because if they don't grow, we don't grow. You know, that's the reason I really like the term family. Because if one member gets affected, everybody else gets affected. Pray for family, for ministers' families. You know, one of the important thing that I, or one of the key aspects or thing, you got what I'm trying to say, that came out during my research, that all the ministers say that my kids don't want to be in a ministry. Why? Because they have seen the other side that nobody sees. They have seen all the struggles. And therefore, not many ministers' kids would want to become a minister or continue to serve, actively serve the Lord by being part of some ministry. Pray. Pray for your ministers. Pray for your leaders. So that they would be strong, that they would be able to stand by the words that they are telling you. It is easy for me to stand and say, oh, you know, Bible reminds us that we must love one another and step out and say all sorts of things about everyone, each and every person here. But that's not right. That's not my responsibility. And that's what I don't want to do. So pray. You know, one of the persons back in India, when I was serving back in India, I knew that there was one particular person who would come and meet me. Okay, I really love my church office. So I used to sit there as well in the office. And every month he would come and he would stay there. Okay, I'm not here to for anything else. I just want to take your 10 minutes. He would come, he would ask me a few questions and he would pray and he would leave. And he did that regularly. If he had something to discuss, something, if he wanted my prayers, he would say, okay, today I'm here because I want you to pray for me. But otherwise, he would just come and pray for me and go. And because he said, I don't want to take a lot of your time because you might have so many different things. But he used to regularly come and pray. But that was really encouraging for me to know that he is making those efforts. So pray for me. Sorry, me sounds wrong, but then you got the message, right? It's not a selfish sermon. It's a difficult one to preach. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. It says there in God's word, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their love, and live peacefully with each other. One of the interesting things in the Bible, if you read all these verses, is mostly whenever it talks about minister, it talks about supporting them in terms of physical needs. Okay, so we are not going there this morning in terms of finances and all that stuff. That's not the aim here this morning. But Paul says, Paul, even in Timothy, he when he talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he reminds Timothy that leaders and ministers should be given a double honor. But how do we honor a minister? You know, one of the things is never compare leaders of your church or ministers of your church with other ministers. You know, when we started this sermon series, we said we all have a very unique role to play. We have our goods and bads. Never compare your ministers. I know my limitations. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And I'm not saying that please don't go and tell your ministers, oh, you said something like that, that was not right. Please do, but not with the intention of hurting him or putting him down. Approach him with the intention of building him up. Because when we build our leaders and our ministers, we build the church body. The other way of honoring your leaders and ministers is fulfilling the responsibility or the role you play in the church family. Sunday morning, if I'm preparing for something or if a minister is preparing for something and someone who is supposed to do something is like, let's say, I don't want to name anything, difficult place, see? And if the person doesn't come, whom do we go to? Oh, sorry, I know you're really busy for this morning, but then so-and-so hasn't turned up. At times it happens. Fulfill the responsibilities that you play in the church family. Be a blessing to your minister. You know, ministers struggle to be who they are in person. We have a different personalities, right? We all have our own we all need our me times. If God has blessed a minister as a friend in your life or someone who is leading somewhere, be their 2 a.m. friend. You know, where a minister can take his minister skin off and just sit there and express things the way he or she wants to express. Their angers, their disappointments, events that have made them happy, events that has really discouraged them, things that people have said, things that they have heard about themselves. Give them that space. It is really important. You know, my treasurer back in India, he was my 2 a.m. friend. He has seen all of my emotions from being excited to being disheartened. He has seen me really happy, jumpy, dancing, and he has really seen me sad and angry and shouty and yelly at times. Why not? Try to be their 2 a.m. friend. It's important for ministers to have that. Sometimes you have a specific, you know, sometimes we need that space for ministers and for leaders to do that. The last thing, and then we'll bring this to close. Say thank you to them. You know, one of the ministers said this. He said, I've preached a lot of sermons. And every Sunday, whenever I preach, I do get people who walk up to me and say, oh, that was really brilliant. And it sounds nice, right? But he said, I would have really appreciated a few people to come up to me and say, you know, that was really nice because you said that and that spoke to me. And it is really important. Because for ministers, they would never know if the work that God is enabling them to do is making any impact or not if you just keep telling them thank you. And it is important for us. That's like, oh wow, God, you spoke with me this morning. Thank you for doing that. Just say thank you and tell them in how God in what? Yeah, say thank you and tell them in what God is enabling them to do is helping you in your spiritual walk, because that's their only aim. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this. And I'm not going to explain that verse. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls and be accountable to God. Yes, that is the responsibility. Give them reasons to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. You know, in Exodus chapter 17, when Moses brought people of Israel out from their slavery, they were still on their journey to that promised land. There's an incident that is mentioned in Exodus chapter 17 where they were in war with Amalekites. Yeah, one of those people with difficult names. Amalekites, yes. And God told Moses to go on the mountaintop and stay there with hands up in the air. Not like he don't care, but then hands held high thing. And Moses got tired. And he took his hands down. And Bible tells us that whenever he took his hands down, they started losing. But Moses had to keep his hands up. So Aaron and Hur came to his help to hold his hands so that he can keep his hands up. My dear church family, your ministers and your leaders need those Aarons and Hurs to come and held their hands high so that we as a church family would continue to serve the Lord together. Thank you.